Hey there, Through the Word. Welcome back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is the B-side. Today's topic, women in ministry. Now, we close out the chapter with one of the Bible's most controversial passages regarding the role of women in the church and church leadership. Today's topic is very important because it's about half the population, women. And I happen to know that the other half of the population, men, are pretty impressed by women. Personally, I'm married to one. And believe it or not, my mom was one too. I respect women so much that I adopted two of them and am raising them to become women also. You know me, Peyton Jones, and you probably know my co-host, Through the Word founder, Chris Langham. Chris agreed to come on so he and I could share a conversation on this important topic and these controversial verses. So, Chris, welcome.
Thanks, Peyton. It is good to be here. This is a big topic, and I am so glad we're getting this recorded.
So why don't we get started sharing a little bit of our background regarding women in ministry and how we came to where we're at today?
That's a good call. This is a big topic. I think it's good to start with our own stories because that has a great influence on how we interpret the Bible. So before I was a Christian, I learned my teaching skills from my mom. My dad, too. They were both good teachers, but my mom was a university professor. So my world in childhood definitely had a high respect for women and particularly for women teachers. Now, I got saved around 21 towards the end of my college time. And in my new church, all the pastors and pulpit teachers in our church were men. Now, I didn't actually think about it that much, just the way of the world around me. I just took it in. But at some point, I ran into these verses. And my first conviction was I was so taken by the power and authority of the Bible, I just thought, whatever the Bible says, I'll submit to that. God knows better than me. And I was so new in the Lord, I didn't really think much at the time about the importance of interpretation, how we interpret what the Bible says. Now, as I grew, I discovered that this was a point of some contentious debate, not only these verses, but also the role of women in ministry and that it was different in different churches. Not every church reads this passage the same. In my own circles, I found that we sort of landed on a mixed reading where some stuff we cast aside as cultural regarding, you know, hair coverings and hair. Others we held on to as God's church standards for all time regarding women teaching and women in authority. And the exact lines of what women can or should do were kind of blurry. And in actual practice, most of us just went along with the culture of our church, which for us was women can talk in church, teach in some settings, but just can't be a quote pastor or be the main pulpit teacher in practice. Though some of those lines were still somewhat wiggly over time. Now, our primary teachers in our church and in our denomination were all men. So that's just what I was used to culturally. But then I was surprised to find out that our founding teacher in our denomination had been profoundly impacted by a Bible teaching book that was written by a woman several decades ago. So I remember hearing that story. That felt a little incongruous. But all the while, I sort of felt that we hadn't done a thorough job of looking back at these verses and asking, what exactly is Paul saying and why? Because what we do with this affects our church very significantly, both as individuals and as a whole for the church, the culture of the church. Now, as for me personally, in church, I really never felt I was in a place of authority to make any changes or rock the boat in my denomination. And maybe I should have, but I didn't. And my role in church now is significantly different. I'm more of an outsider now. I'm not the lead pastor at any particular church. But I am really happy that we're doing this now, which is we're not here to tell churches what to do. We don't have that authority, but we do want to approach this passage and ask, what does the Bible say and mean? So that any of you who can make decisions about church practice can start with a good foundation. So how about you, Peyton? What was your story?
Well, my story is very similar. My mom was a teacher. I married a teacher. And she is also the daughter of a teacher. Plus, you and I came out of the same church after all. In fact, if anything, I went even further away from women in ministry when I went Reformed. But I married that missionary girl. Her name was Andrea. and she was struggling through her own calling as she went to the mission field and was powerfully used by God there. But when she came back to the States, the only place that the church had for her was in children's ministry. And that was because there was this idea that she couldn't even teach youth, like past 12 years old. You'll find that people often don't even know where the boundary lines are when they start trying to navigate this issue because it's just from this one verse. So when Andrea joined me in youth ministry, because I was a youth pastor, she constantly challenged me why she wasn't allowed to minister once these kids turned a certain age. And I didn't really have a good answer, but that didn't stop us from having serious debates. Debates that kept me on my toes and really made me think and realize I didn't have all the answers I thought I had. My problem was that my wife wanted to be free, but the Bible seemed to have a padlock. And I wasn't willing to unlock it because, like you, I was like, well, if the Bible locks it, then it stays locked. I wasn't even looking for a key. And I kind of figured that Andrew and I would always disagree. And I found a key on accident when I discovered the team leadership model of the New Testament, that they had a plurality of elders and deacons. And even the spouses in 1 Timothy testifies that they served as husband-wife teams. So for the first time, I'd seen that we've been reading this verse through a modern paradigm that has solo leaders when that was not the New Testament paradigm or model. And that's where we were getting tripped up. So our leadership today looks nothing like theirs did 2,000 years ago. And that was the key that presented itself to me for being able to set women free to use their gifts. So it wasn't the Bible that was suspect, and I didn't feel that the Bible needed to change. It was my interpretation of the Bible, or at least my interpretation of that one verse. Now, I do want to say that I have stayed theologically conservative. I am a conservative. In no way am I a liberal, and I know you're not either, but I could not go against Scripture. But if my interpretation of a scripture was limiting in the sense that I didn't really understand it, and let's be fair, the verses that we talked about in 1 Timothy 2, they're puzzling. I mean, they really deserve a deeper look. So saying that, let me say at the outset of this that I believe all of us, no matter where we stand on this, are actually trying to honor the scripture, and we want to give that respect. You're trying to honor the scripture, you're trying to honor God, and you're trying to honor women all at the same time. And I believe if we love Jesus, we'll approach this verse in that way. Now, saying that, I hold the opposite view of what I once did. But honoring all three of those, God, scripture, and women, all three of those were then and still are very important to me. That part has never changed, so I think it's important to state that at the outset. But I'll hold more of my interpretation of these verses for later. But Chris, maybe you could set the stage for this passage.
Okay, now as through the word, we are very careful to state our position of non-authority. We don't hold a position of authority in any denomination, nor are we beholden to any denominational views. Rather, we work very hard to present a balanced view of what the Bible says and the various ways scholars and churches interpret it, and do our best not to hold bias personally. Of course, we do have our viewpoints as individuals, but we respect others and hold our own with humility and openness to correction. But when we teach, our goal is to equip listeners to clearly understand what the Bible says and how others interpret it so you can make your own conclusions. Now, to the verses at hand. I'll start by reading verses 11 and 12. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. Now, I have to admit, it is my respect for women that makes this passage so difficult. Quite frankly, the passage appears to be pretty misogynistic. I mean, let's be honest. If I didn't know anything about the Bible and just opened to verse 12, I would be angry. Women, don't teach, just keep silent. Oh, and a couple verses later, you'll be saved through childbearing. What is that doing in the Bible? Here I am, determined to teach my daughters their equal value in God's sight, made in God's image, gifted and called to serve in God's kingdom. And then I read this verse. But then I remember something. I do know the Bible. And it is the Bible that taught me those values and really gave my culture those values historically. The equality of women and the call to show them respect is pervasive in Scripture. In fact, in the very next chapter, Paul will speak of women in ministry as worthy of respect. And two chapters later, he will instruct Timothy to treat all women with the respect they are due. The Bible has many references to women in ministry and consistently teaches respect for women. So what's the deal here? Why does this passage sound so disrespectful? That's what we're here to find out. But first, let's understand who we are in this process and clarify our approach. This passage has been hotly debated for centuries, and neither you nor I are the final authority here. Still, what we believe matters. It affects the way we treat women in church and the opportunities that women are given. That's a big deal. That in turn affects how the outside world sees the church and the Bible. So let's get this right. So here's our approach. Good interpretation considers three key elements: content, context, and cross-references. And all three balance together. Those three will save us from two great dangers. Danger number one is one-verse theology, which takes a single verse out of context and without cross-references and creates a doctrine for the church. Danger number two is skip-a-verse theology, which simply ignores any content that I don't like. Both dangers lead to bad doctrine and bad practice. Okay, our approach is set. Here we go. Let's start with context. Paul writes Timothy to guide him in leading the church at Ephesus. Two major themes weave through the letter. In 1:3, command certain people not to teach false doctrines. And in 3:15, how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. So we have two big themes: stop false teaching and restore proper church conduct in Ephesus. That's biblical context. Now, what about cultural context? This is key. Accurate Bible interpretation first considers what the text meant then applies it to now. What was Paul saying to Timothy in first century Ephesus? Well, the Ephesian church lived and operated within Roman culture, with a strong Greek heritage and an influx of Jewish tradition. In Roman and Greek cultures, women could not vote and received only basic education, usually at home rather than school. Most middle and upper class girls could read and write. Women's education was controversial, and for some wealthier females, independence was advancing in first century Ephesus, with a number of women in roles of prominence and leadership. Now, Jewish girls were also educated at home, but were more likely to read and write because they would become responsible for religious matters in the house. So they learned Torah and prayers. While some historians have said that women were not included in synagogue, or at least separated, others point to evidence that women were present and active in synagogue, as we see in Acts 18 with Priscilla in the Corinthian synagogue. Now, church brought all of those cultures and classes together. Beautiful, but challenging. A house gathering of Christians would likely have men and women with just a few learned women and most of them uneducated. In fact, for most of the women present, the church setting would be their first opportunity for education in a public setting. Okay, that's the cultural context. Now to the content. 1 Timothy 2, starting at verse 11. A woman should learn. Pause there. Do not miss the weight of this statement. A woman should learn is a tremendous statement in that time and culture. The Bible supports education for women, and women were present in church. Christians have battled cultural norms to promote women's education for centuries, and still do so around the world today. But hold on, read the whole sentence. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. So what's with that? The first key here is to understand that quietness and submission are both biblical keys to wisdom and learning. Within that culture, those terms were not derogatory. The term used for quietness doesn't indicate total silence, but rather a quiet attitude, a posture of humility. So why single out women? Wouldn't that be important for men? Remember that most women in church had no experience with a public learning setting, while men did. Thus, many interpret this verse as simply addressing a practical classroom reality for Timothy. Women were probably talking in class because they'd never been in a class. All of us with classroom teaching experience know that practical realities cannot be ignored.
Nice. Thanks, Chris. That's the biblical context and cultural context. And we started in on content, but there's a lot more of it. And that's all the time we have. So let's come back together on our next episode to dive deeper into these verses.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.